This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Everyone who's taken a flight on a commercial airliner in the United States has likely been told to turn off their personal electronic devices at some time or another. Aircraft operators are concerned that devices in the cabin may interfere with the proper functioning of systems in the cockpit. But do those concerns hold any water? Today we're speaking with Dave Carson. Dave is an associate technical fellow working in cabin systems integration for the Boeing company. He co-chaired a federal advisory committee on portable electronic devices for the RTCA, formerly known as the Radio Technical Commission for Aeronautics. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Glenn. Thank you.
Now, how long have you been involved with this concern?
So I was tapped to be the co-chair in 2003, and prior to that worked in various aspects of integrating cabin systems, so associated with it for probably 5 or 10 years prior to that.
Let's lay a foundation for everyone. We've got aviation concerns. We've got communication frequency concerns. What are the specific concerns that operators have regarding use of these devices in the cabin?
Specifically for the RTCA request from the FAA, it was the aviation safety issues of potential interference from devices which are not designed and qualified to be installed and operated on aircraft, and that is to say consumer electronics devices that passengers might have with them. The devices will radiate electromagnetic radiation, some intentionally, such as cell phones transmitting on their primary frequency and Wi-Fi devices transmitting on their primary frequency, but also any electronic device has the potential and does in fact emanate some level of electromagnetic radiation. The amount and the frequencies of that radiation is where the concern potentially is.
What are the most likely key offenders? Would at that point directly to cell phones?
So cell phones are certainly one of the potential offenders in that a lot of people have them. People get used to using them, don't think a thing about taking it out and sending a text message or checking for calls or making a call. And so that social habit makes it kind of in the sights of potential devices that could cause interference. The fact that it is electronic, that it's so popular among passengers, means that it has that potential. Any device that has, some of the flight attendants will say, anything that has a battery and can be turned on and off has the potential, and that is true. If it has electricity flowing through it, there's a potential for interference, and for aviation safety, we have to consider all of that as something we have to look at.
Okay, well, what precisely was the committee's task here?
The committee originally was asked to come up with a list of devices that would be okay to use on airborne aircraft and a list of devices that could not be used on airborne aircraft. And they specifically asked the committee to look at transmitting portable electronic devices, and that is the kind of things like cell phones and Wi-Fi devices and Bluetooth and so on, where there is an intentional transmitter in the device. What the committee looked at is the fact that, number one, those devices are evolving so fast that literally every couple of days some new device comes out or some new integration of functionality shows up in PDAs are now cell phones, and cell phones are now PDAs, and Wi-Fi devices are in just about every laptop and so on. The committee decided the only way to get a handle on that was to go after the underlying technology. So we revised essentially our charter to say rather than list devices specifically, we would assess the technologies that these devices use and come up with a way to assess risk and to mitigate risk of those devices being operated on airplanes.
And what information, what data, I guess, if you will, was looked at, did you collect, and what did you learn from it?
So we looked at, for example, the manufacturer's data that they use to certify their devices for manufacture and sale in the United States and internationally. We had a lot of members of the committee who were willing to do testing of devices. We had a good participation by the Consumer Electronics Association and their member companies who provided us with data and test results and so on. So we had a lot of good analytical and test data to use to do the analysis that we came up with.
Well, one recent report that's been widely publicized in the news media, I believe it comes from the International Air Transport Association. Is that correct?
Yes, we've seen that.
It seems to correlate incidents with interference from electronic devices, but prior reports seem to draw different conclusions. When we look at these things, what are we working with? Are we running with anecdotal evidence, or do we have practical studies that have been performed and collect real hard data?
So the things like the IATA report and a report that the committee actually referenced in its early work from NASA, the Safety Reporting System database, all of those end up being categorized, unfortunately, as anecdotal. And the reason is that when those instances occur, they're not under controlled circumstances. You don't know exactly what the radio frequency environment was when the incident occurred, what devices may have been turned on or what devices may not have been turned on, and the specific operating mode of the aircraft. All of these things are kind of perhaps noted, but not necessarily documented in a consistent fashion. So whereas you can say, yes, this incident did occur, we had ILS needle bias out of view, or we had GPS signal lost, or we had interference on an audio channel, we can say that because it is in the report. But drawing the conclusion of what specifically caused it, or even if we could say it is a portable electronic device that caused it, how that caused the interference, once it's occurred and the plane has gone on and the passengers have gotten off the plane, it's very, very difficult to say with any certainty. And in fact, when attempts have been made to recreate, you know, get the same airplane, get the same electronic device, go fly out in the same location, it has never been repeated. In other words, we couldn't repeat that scenario of interference.
So when researchers at Carnegie Mellon University who were involved in this IATA study, when they say anecdotally in interviews, we've found that the risk posed by these portable devices is higher than previously believed, does that mean there's something to worry about?
It certainly means that we have to take it seriously. And when the committee looked at those reports, and in fact, the Carnegie Mellon folks were on the committee with us and shared some of their test data with us, and it was very helpful with the committee's work. What it does say is, yes, it's something that does have to be paid attention to, and because you can't build a good analysis on anecdotal data, you have to come up with some process that's documentable, that's consistent and repeatable in order to assure yourself that you have margins of safety for operation of any kind of device on an airplane.
At this time, do we have specific safety measures that could be used to counter the potential for interference? Is there any surefire solution?
The surefire solution would be to turn the devices off, and that's per the flight attendant's instructions. That is unfortunately still the most surefire way to make sure there's no interference. If the device isn't turned on, it obviously can't interfere. The next step, the hopefully more practical step, is to say we can look at the technology of the devices, do testing and analysis on the airplanes, or we can define design requirements for airplane design, which allow us to have an airplane that's tolerant to these devices being operated while the aircraft is in flight.
Well, you mentioned the practical problems with the just turn it off approach, but we've also now seen reports that Alaska Airlines, for example, their airlines putting these devices into the cockpit. Alaska Airlines has approved the use of iPads as in-cockpit flight manuals. American Airlines announced recently they'll be testing iPads in their to be their in-cockpit supplier of electronic charting functionality. Are they missing something?
We have to draw a distinction between electronics that may be purchased by just anyone and used without any follow-up maintenance or operational guidance, versus something that, for example, I mean, the other end of the spectrum would be avionics that's purchased and installed, certified and qualified to be operated on an aircraft. And these are devices that have been subjected to rigorous testing in their design and in their manufacture, and in fact subjected to rigorous processes for maintenance and operation. So when an airline is going to install anything on an airplane, they would go through that same rigorous process. whether they bought the equipment from an avionics manufacturer or, in the case of iPads and notebooks and so on, from a consumer electronics manufacturer, those devices are now under the control of the airline, and they're going to maintain them. They're going to make sure that they're operating correctly and used in the proper fashion. And in fact, in the case of iPads and so on used in the cockpit, it is the pilot in command or the first officer who's using the device. If there were any interference, if something went, broke in the device, they would see it immediately and be able to turn it off. There's a difference then when that same iPad or portable electronic device is in the hands of someone who's in the passenger cabin, out of sight of the pilot in command, and maybe not even aware that their device is operating or operating improperly.
Let's use that point to segue into private pilots. Should they be concerned about using anything they want in their own cockpits?
When we were with the committee, a large number of the committee members were private pilots as well, and the clear distinction there is that a private pilot is in view of their passengers, even if their passenger is another pilot, and they can see whether there's any interference that's going on. So even without all the guidelines, if a device were brought on an airplane and caused interference, the private pilot can turn around and say to their passenger, hey, turn that off. I'm seeing a problem on my navigation display, or it's causing interference to the radio or something like that. It's a direct line of sight communications, quite different from that to a commercial airplane where, the passenger out of sight and may not even be aware of what interference they are causing.
Well, now I'm back to statistics. How many flights do we have each day, and how many incidents associated with electronic devices are reported? I guess I'm asking, do we have those kinds of figures? And if we do, is that applicable here?
So again, it's applicable only from the context of saying, all right, there's a potential problem, and the specific number of flights, the specific number of interference events is less significant than that there is a potential for that interference. And the way the committee worded that is, we don't care if it's a primary cause or one step in a sequence. We don't ever want a portable electronic device to be blamed for any incident in aviation safety.
Well, and as you alluded to earlier, in dealing with this concern, it strikes me that it's dealing with a bit of a moving target. I don't know how often new cell phones come out, but it seems to me it's every other day. So what's your bottom line? Is there a threat or not that people should be concerned with? And are we ever going to get to a place where there's a definitive answer through testing?
So certainly it is a moving target, and what the committee did with that was to address, again, the underlying technologies, and with the help of consumer electronics manufacturers and so on the committee, say we have a real good look ahead as to what kind of technologies are going to be coming out in devices and integrated into various devices, and assessing the underlying technologies, the radio frequency emissions of these different technologies. We have a way of doing testing and analysis on an airplane, or putting design requirements up for design of new airplanes to say that, yes, you can make that aircraft tolerant to the operation of those kind of devices. Now, in 10 years or some distant future, there may be some new technology that comes along. And at that point, we would have to look at it again and say, okay, what does that say for how we do testing and what we test for?
So in practice, do you ever foresee airlines, the FCC, and whoever else has a vested interest in this opening the doors to free the use of electronic devices in the cabin? Might there ever be a set of rules that would allow the use and make it safe or acceptably safe?
I do. I think that it's not something that will happen instantly. I think that as with anything in aviation safety, we move deliberately and methodically toward an implementation of those kind of features and functionalities that maintains or improves aviation safety. And as in the United States, some airlines are offering Wi-Fi now. That's been done according to RTCA's guidelines documents and approved by the FAA and FCC and so on. European and other foreign carriers have done the same with some cell phone providers, so that there is beginnings of those steps in that direction. And as we gain experience and make sure that we have addressed aviation safety in all of the approaches that we take to providing these features on airplanes, I think it will move in that direction.
We've been speaking with Dave Carson, Associate Technical Fellow working in cabin systems integration for the Boeing Company. He co-chaired the Federal Advisory Committee on Portable Electronic Devices for the RTCA. I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.